This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. A little later in our program, we'll be hearing from Craig James about another sports commentator creating a firestorm after expressing her thoughts on Twitter about the president. Also, Representative Chris Smith joins Tony to talk about how FEMA is discriminating against churches as they distribute emergency funds in the wake of our recent hurricanes. But first, you've probably been seeing a lot of press lately about the Southern Poverty Law Center, and earlier this week, former Vanderbilt University professor Dr. Carol Swain wrote a column in the Wall Street Journal addressing how the SPLC attacked her reputation in 2009 and how that impacts others today. Here's FRC President Tony Perkins.
Carol, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It's my pleasure, and I have to correct the narrative a little bit. Back in 2007, the Southern Poverty Law Center started attacking people who were immigration restrictionists. And At the time, I was a CNN contributor for Lou Dobbs and, shared a lot of similar ideological interests with Lou Dobbs. And I noticed how they were attacking and discrediting organizations that were restrictionists on immigration. Eventually, in 2009, I wrote a blog where I pointed out that instead of them actually writing articles about things that related to hate, they were pursuing conservatives. And I ended my blog with the line that instead of monitoring hate groups, the Southern Poverty Law Center had become one. And so a month or so after I wrote my blog, October 2009, my local newspaper interviewed Mark Potok at the Southern Poverty Law Center. He accused me of being an apologist for white supremacy. I was on the front page of my local newspaper, not just the local newspaper, it was statewide newspapers, with the heading, Carol Swain is an apologist for white supremacy. And then the following year, they put me on hate watch. So their attack on me and conservatives goes back a lot further than the Christian organizations.
Right. And, well, how's that work? How's an African-American woman who has had a very successful career, how do you come off as being an apologist for a white supremacist?
I mean, it's even more interesting because in 2002, I published a book with Cambridge University Press, the number one university press, titled The New White Nationalism in America, It's Challenged Integration. And so I was like the foremost expert on white nationalism and white supremacy, and I still got placed on the list when I criticized the Southern Poverty Law Center for having mission creep. And mission creep, as you know, occurs when the organization, starts out with a particular focus and then they sort of lose their way and they drift into other areas. So I accused them again in 2009 of having mission creep. A month later, there's an article in my local newspaper with my photograph and the heading that I'm an apologist for white supremacy. It was the worst thing that you can imagine because at the time I did not have a platform. I could not really defend myself, and that was the first time that the Wall Street Journal, they wrote an article in my defense, and that caused the criticisms to subside. And then the following year, I got placed on the hate watch. And so, I've been battling for a long time, not entirely alone, but I felt alone.
In your piece today in the Wall Street Journal, you said being targeted by the SPLC has had a lasting impact on my life and career. Can you explain that impact to our listeners?
Well, it's pretty simple. I was a university professor until I took early retirement in August. But what university or which universities would want a professor that's been labeled, been placed on hate watch, or been called an apologist for white supremacy. And when, after they called me an apologist for white supremacy, it went viral on the black media. And Tom Joyner was the only person who eventually allowed me to come on his show and to give my side. The Wall Street Journal ran an article in defense of Carol Swain probably about 2 weeks after the article in the Tennessean. That caused some criticism to subside, but the following year, I was listed in Hate Watch. And then several times over the years, the Southern Poverty Law Center had mentioned me. And it resulted in, whenever the Tennessean, my local newspaper, runs an article where they mention me, I'm always called the controversial Carol Swain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that has been going on ever since the Southern Poverty Law Center labeled me as an apologist for white supremacy. So, of course, it affects your opportunities to go to other universities, to get speaking engagements, to appear on TV. It limits you quite a bit.
So is it designed then to basically silence conservatives? Because look, let's face it, this was about your conservative ideology. It wasn't about the color of your skin.
Yeah, it's designed to discredit people, and you know, so that others will not take you seriously. And within academia, where about 95% of the professors are liberal, it has a lasting impact. And we know with the mainstream media how liberal they lean. They're not going to call someone to be on television as an expert, even though, you know, I'm the expert on white nationalism, if they have that kind of labeling.
I actually think they're in the crosshairs of many because...
Well, they are. And you know something, I think this is a great opportunity. There's no way that members of Congress should have an organization with their checkered background offering testimony or advising any agencies of government or the media, and so I think they have zero credibility, and they have done nothing to redeem themselves. In fact, they dig in deeper whenever you criticize them.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Carol, to go back to a point you made about the standards or lack thereof, I mean, as you were doing your research, I mean, you have academic standards that you operate by to identify these groups and to explain them. They don't operate with academic standards. They basically use political standards to slap that label on whomever they wish.
They do, and I mean, they're dangerous because they have so much money and they can do harm to individuals as well as, you know, smaller organizations. And so maybe FRC and some of the larger groups have not been harmed, but when you are attacking an individual, it greatly affects their opportunities. And as you know, I'm a devout believer, and I believe God raised me up. He gave me my platform, and so they were not able to totally stop me or take away my platform, but I do believe that they affected my professional career and led to the circumstances that caused me to leave academia early. But, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing my thing, and right now I am proud to be part of the people who are trying to expose the hypocrisy and the danger of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Well, Dr. Carol Swain, I, for one, appreciate you, your courage, your boldness, and I will be praying. Let me just put it this way. I'll be praying that God would give you that platform that eclipsed anything you ever had because of your boldness and your courage and your commitment to truth. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
You can find out more about Dr. Carol Swain when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues of the day. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back to talk about sports, politics, and corporate bias.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. You know, as well as I, that there is a double standard when it comes to celebrities and their opinions on politics. Former New England Patriots running back and ESPN sports analyst Craig James joins Tony to share his thoughts on ESPN host Jemele Hill blasting President Trump as a white supremacist and the media's double standard treatment toward conservatives. Here's FRC President Tony Perkins.
Craig, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, how are you doing?
Man, it's good. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys that's been in the firing lane. I have been fired for my belief system as a conservative guy, and I know over the years we've covered this here on Washington Watch, but, you know, you just, as a conservative, I don't know how, after 20-plus years of being in a number-one rated seat on ESPN, ABC, and or CBS, I don't know how a conservative guy like me today would have survived this environment.
Well, Craig James, let me tell our listeners a little bit about what was tweeted on Monday night. It's about a dozen tweets that Jemele fired out. And many of them probably may not be aware of it. I'm not a big sports fan, so I don't track this stuff. But let me just give you a taste of it, folks. Donald Trump is a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. That was one tweet. In another tweet, she called the president a bigot. Then in another, Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president in my lifetime. I mean, she's got to be more than a year old, right? You'll get that later, folks. He is unqualified and unfit to be president. He's not a leader. And if he were not white, he would never have been elected. I mean, this is and the only thing they can do is say they don't agree with her comments, but she stays in place. I'm fine with people expressing themselves in a nonviolent manner, but I'm not fine with a double standard.
No, so I guess what you and I think, and other conservatives would say is, had they not fired Curt Schilling, we probably aren't on the air together right now.
And, yeah, we wouldn't be talking about it.
No, we would not at all. And that's the problem. There is the double standard, and we can't silence one side of the street. And it's okay for Jemele to feel as she does. That's okay. I had lunch with a group of people yesterday. Not everyone agreed with each other's position, but we shook hands, got up, and left the lunch table. But that's not the case in the media world right now. And if you've got a platform and you express yourself in a conservative manner, you're in trouble.
Craig, I played high school sports. I tracked college sports a little bit when I was in college, but, you know, went on to do other things. But look, folks disproportionately, and correct me if I'm wrong, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but especially when you get to football and even baseball, people that track that and participate in that are disproportionately conservative. A lot of conservative people are involved in sports, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so, I mean, this is a viewpoint that she expressed would be offensive to some, to many. The viewpoint that Curt Schilling expressed in his Facebook post about the lampooning the genderless bathrooms in North Carolina, a lot of people laughed at that. A lot of conservatives that track sports think that's a crazy idea, as do most Americans. But yet they fire him. It's clear that they have a bias that runs liberal.
I'm not sure that I can. I have not seen this. But I've heard this, but I've not tried to verify that the TV ratings are down a little bit in the NFL. I know it's a very popular sport, but there are, to your point, a lot of conservative fans out there, and I do believe as many or more than the other side, and many of those do not agree with what Jemele Hill said and would side with Curt Schilling, but those folks, if they don't watch and they're not seeing that Ford commercial and going and buying that Ford pickup truck, that's going to get the attention of the NFL and someone else. But until we get to where there's a true conservative big platform for all of us who believe as we do, mm-hmm. then we're going to be at a disadvantage. And so back to what you said earlier, Tony, yes, most of the time you're talking about things on Capitol Hill. This should be one of the paramount topics on Capitol Hill, freedom of speech. But we can't have freedom of speech to bully and defame and slander people.
Absolutely. Folks, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Craig James, former New England Patriots player and sports commentator. You mentioned the NFL and the declining numbers in it. I mean, when they're dissing the national anthem in America, I think that's part of it. I think their numbers are off. The last I saw, and they were losing some mm-hmm. money because they're taking this same anti-American bent that our previous president was doing. And now we have a president who loves America, stands up for America, and he's being savaged. As being a white supremacist and, everything else they're saying about him. But, I'll tell you what, folks, the one thing that's good about it, he is not caving. And it's amazing he continues to stand in the face of this. Craig, you've been on the inside of sports. Mm-hmm. As a player, commentator, I mean, you've seen it pretty much from every angle. That, what you just touched on just a moment ago, the dollar, is that what speaks in professional sports, the dollar?
Absolutely, and I think that the NFL, the attention of the NFL has been gained by the conservatives in the sense that Colin Kaepernick, who is kneeling and he's the chief behind all that, he's not on a team. That's a controversial guy, and I think more people in America, far more people in America, believe that he should and every player should stand and honor the national anthem. Therefore, Colin Kaepernick is not playing, and he's not on the team. So I think the voices can be heard, but it's a slow process. It's the process that you do on a daily basis. It's the other conservative outlets that are out there beating the drums to maintain our freedom to believe as we do. And we just can't stop the beat.
And the best way, as we've talked about, you've talked about many times, the best way to protect that freedom, which is fundamental, it's essential freedom, it's the first freedom, freedom of the religion, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, is to use it. That's how we preserve it.
Well, it is, but it goes back again to the companies that control the media and what's going out there. The narrative is controlled by the Googles and the Twitters and the Facebooks. And when I got out of broadcast, I wanted to be verified, the little check that says, yes, this really is Craig James. Well, they didn't want to verify me, did not verify me. Why? Because I'm talking about my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they don't want that kind of guy out there talking about a limited government and low taxes and freedom and free markets. So there's a censoring that takes place, and despite that, we can't give up, and we continue to fight the battle and for the things that we have been provided for by those before us.
The worst thing we can do is grow silent or throw in the towel. We can never quit. We have to be persistent in proclaiming truth no matter what the opposition may be. And Craig, my friend, you've consistently done that, and it's great to hear you again. Thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you very much, Tony, for having me, and thanks for what you do.
You can find out more about Craig James when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, helping you stay informed on the issues that matter to you. You can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. When we come back, should federal assistance be given to churches impacted by flooding during the recent hurricanes?
The Center for Medical Progress continues to release shocking videos that expose the lies and crimes of Planned Parenthood. Come to Values Voter Summit to hear from David DeLeiden, the heroic undercover journalist behind the Planned Parenthood videos, as he discusses his journey and the courage it takes to stand up for the unborn. Other invited and confirmed speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Michelle Bachmann, Franklin Graham, Dana Loesch, and many more. Register now at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. As the cleanup continues in Texas and Florida, a disturbing trend is developing. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, has been denying emergency funds to churches impacted by the storms. Representative Chris Smith of New Jersey joins Tony to discuss how this violates religious freedom.
Congressman Smith, you've been fighting this battle since Superstorm Sandy devastated churches and synagogues in the Northeast, and now we're at the same juncture again, the government not wanting to help out churches. But you're taking actions to fix that.
Without a doubt, Tony. Back in 2013, I authored a bill, identical to the one we're talking about today, H.R. 592. It passed the House of Representatives 354-72. Overwhelming. It was bipartisan. That would treat houses of worship in the exact same way that we do other nonprofit facilities for reconstruction, for repair and replacement, if necessary, from a natural disaster like Hurricane Sandy, or now like Irma and of course, a Harvey. The Senate killed it. They refused to bring it up for a vote. President Obama was against it, and I think it was a profoundly discriminatory policy against faith. And we could not get that changed. I've been trying ever since, and now we have a new opportunity, sadly, in the wake of those two terrible events in Texas and Florida, to get this into the reconstruction funding phase. And, you know, there will be a second bill that comes up. Either my language could go in as base text, or we pass it as a freestanding bill, H.R. 592, that's the old one.
H.R. 2405.
Exactly. And it just needs to be done. And our leadership is very favorable to it. And they were back in 2013.
The big difference now is you have a president who is also supportive of it.
That's exactly it. And as you know, what the president, Obama did this repeatedly during his 8 years, he just gets someone on the Senate side to block it. And usually it's the subcommittee chairman. In this case, it was Tom Carper from Delaware. And the bill never even gets a hearing.
This has been a longstanding policy of FEMA. We saw it repeatedly in my home state of Louisiana. In fact, last year when we had the floods that flooded many churches, as well as many homes in our communities, we ran into the same thing. Interestingly enough, I was speaking to some individuals at FEMA today about your bill, and they're certainly receptive to it. I think obviously there's some restrictions on what they can do because some of this is statutory, but I think the president has signaled he favors what you're trying to do. He understands that churches should not be discriminated against. And the other thing about this, Congressman, which I know you and I have talked about and you're very much aware of, these churches often serve as first responders and they're the first ones that help in these natural disasters to take people in for shelter. They provide food in the first 2 to 3 days, which are the most critical. And so there's no reason for the government to treat them any different than they would other nonprofit entities.
You summarized it perfectly. You know, the churches are often the firstest with the mostest, to use that old phrase. They're there on the spot. They're providing food, clothing, shelter, and a venue for first responders to respond. Right. Very often, even in a church or a church facility that has been damaged itself, it becomes a mustering area. And again, it just highlights the discriminatory policy by Obama. And there's nothing, and I say again, nothing in the underlying law, the Stafford Act, that precludes this kind of effort. We are now directing in this legislation that they must do it because of just horrible regulations and that bias that we have found inside of FEMA, but above all at the White House previous. Thank God that our new president not only recognizes but wants to move very quickly to ensure that they're protected.
Well, I would think it would also be beneficial. The president back in May signed an executive order giving direction to the Department of Justice to issue guidelines for the various federal agencies to ensure that they, in the executive order, said to protect and promote religious freedom. So I would think that if that guidance were put out there, that would address some of these issues, in and of itself.
It would, and I think this is another area that needs to be included under that executive order. And there also needs to go out from FEMA, and it needs to go out quickly so the churches start applying. I mean, they're going to have black mold problems,
right?
Just like we saw in Hurricane Sandy in Louisiana.
I've heard from many of them already. Let me ask you this, Congressman Chris Smith. I was talking to the FEMA representative today regarding this. About the fact that in the Bush administration started to do this on their way up after Katrina. It was a little too late for them to get it in place. But I believe that FEMA, in terms of their emergency response to these natural disasters, should, in their planning, identify and work with houses of worship that are willing to be those first shelters that would be a part of their response. And so that, because before the federal government can mobilize and get in there in those first 72 hours, you've got churches that are already there. And I don't care, you know, people's views of religion. I can guarantee you, I've seen it time and time again, in the midst of these disasters, whether it be man-made or natural, people turn to churches in those times of crisis.
Oh, they sure do. And added to that, at the local level, the township, city, or county level, without a doubt, that's the practice. You know, the local emergency responders immediately turn to the local churches, and they respond robustly. You know, working around the clock, bringing in volunteers to augment the, you know, the firemen and the firefighters, I should say, and the police and the other emergency responders. It was extraordinary during Sandy. It's extraordinary everywhere. It is the place where people gather and they meet those compelling humanitarian needs that people in crises face. So, for FEMA to have such, not to have an inclusiveness of that, is another major mistake that needs to be rectified.
It could, because they could increase their effectiveness
exactly.
Tremendously by simply bringing in allies in the churches across America. Chris Smith, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for introducing this legislation, and thank you for being a champion for religious freedom and for human rights.
We Tony, thank you so very much. Great talking to you.
If you want to find out more about Congressman Smith, just head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to TonyPerkins.com and clicking on the donate button. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.